We are almost done with January, but I'd like to talk about our theme for the year. The theme for this year is very simple, led by God, leading others to God. And this comes from Numbers 27. We'll talk about this verse next week, but I do want to talk about the first part of this phrase this morning, led by God. My question is very simple. How are we led by the Spirit? How are we led by the Spirit? This is a phrase that I have noted some brethren are not comfortable using, being led by God. It's a perfectly good biblical phrase, but I do think we need to investigate what does it really mean to be led by God. Two passages we're going to begin with that both use this phrase. The first is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Galatians 5, 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. One more time. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Likewise, go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, Paul uses the same phrase for a very similar purpose. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now here, there's no question, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. This is not just, you know, a spiritual life, but this is led by the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be led by God's Spirit? Indeed, this is central to the walk of a Christian. Both in Galatians 5 and in Romans 8, to walk in Christ is to be led by the Spirit. What does that mean? What does Paul mean whenever he talks about us being led by the Spirit? Well, as with most New Testament phrases, of course you'll know, I think, where we need to go to find where this comes from. But I want to begin with the life of Jesus. Jesus himself was led by the Spirit. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In the baptism of Jesus and the subsequent event, we are going to note a pattern that develops. And I think it's going to really help us begin to consider what it means to be led by the Spirit. Matthew 3, verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now notice verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Notice here what happens. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now, a couple of the connections we have to make in this narrative. Not only was Jesus led by the Spirit, but he was led by the Spirit after his baptism into the wilderness for 40 days. Okay? Let me ask you this. What does this sound familiar? What other group of people do we know are led by the Spirit after a baptism into a wilderness for 40 allotments of time? Sound familiar? This is the Exodus. This is the Exodus. It's pretty much universally agreed that the baptism and subsequent temptation of Jesus is a retelling of Israel's story. But whereas Israel fails their temptation, they are led into the wilderness and they complain and they become bitter and they moan and gripe against God. Jesus is led into the wilderness and he passes his test and demonstrates true fidelity to God. But Jesus was led by the Spirit after his baptism into the wilderness for 40 days, much like Israel. So I think for us to really understand what it means to be led by the Spirit, we need to not only look at the life of Jesus, but we also need to look at Israel. Now, let's keep this question going. I think we have a bit more clarity here Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Likewise, Israel was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Go with me back to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63. This, I believe, is one of the verses, if not the verse, that Paul had in mind when he was writing this phrase. Isaiah 63. Now, this whole section is really about the leading of Israel, but I'm going to begin in verse 10. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 63. But they, that is our ancestors Israel, rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And therefore he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for him an everlasting name, who led them up through the depths like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble, like livestock that did not go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Notice here what God did. God led his people from Israel through the Exodus into the wilderness, all by means of the Spirit. God led his people by the Spirit. Now, these are many other passages, just a few. There's dozens in the Old Testament that talks about God leading his people in the days of the Exodus. But there's one particular more I'd like to look at before we start to make some observations. Psalm 77. Look with me at Psalm 77, and we'll try to tie all of these thoughts together. Psalm 77, verse 19. Psalm 77, 19. This is a beautiful phrase. Psalm 77, 19. Again, in talking about the Exodus, verse 19, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. All of these passages talk about God leading his people from Egypt through the Red Sea to Sinai into the wilderness by his Spirit. Let me ask this. What then does it mean to be led by God's Spirit? Well, in the Exodus, God did not send his Spirit, which of course means breath, wind, and just blow his people into the wilderness, right? Could God have done that if he wanted? Could God have sent a great east wind and just taken his people and just moved them to where he wanted them? Of course he could have, right? Of course he could have. Our God is so great that whenever he talks, his breath comes from his mouth, and that breath is mighty. It could have done whatever he right well pleased. But here's what God did. God sent a pillar and a cloud before them, and Israel still had to walk. Israel had to follow. God set the way, although his footsteps were unseen. Don't you love that phrase? God was walking with Israel through the sea, yet his footsteps weren't seen. It's poetic, I know, but it's a beautiful phrase to consider how God was with his people. But Israel had to follow. Israel had to follow. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? To be led by the Spirit means you are going to follow God where he wants you to go. It's that simple. You follow God where he wants you to go. It's not that he is the one moving you, but he is the one guiding and shepherding and leading you. Do you notice that difference is very, very important? It's not God blowing you somewhere. It's God guiding and shepherding and leading you somewhere. That is, I think, what it means to be led by the Spirit. God led Israel by his breath, by his ruach, by his Spirit. That is how God led his people. Now, quite practically then for us, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? To understand this in practice, I want to draw a contrast. Go back with me to the book of Galatians. Back to Galatians. It was fascinating to me I went through the Bible and just looked at every time the word led is used. It's only a few dozen times, not that big of a project. But there were two phrases that I kept noting. Either led by God, led by the Spirit, or led astray. Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, Galatians 2, verse 13. Galatians 2, verse 13. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. What's the difference here? You're either led by the Spirit or you're led astray. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look down to verse 9. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. What again was this problem? Do not be led away. Do not be led astray. Here's the problem. You are either going to be led by God's Spirit in that narrow path of where He wants you to go, or you'll be led astray from the path and taken to wherever the spirits of this world desire you to be. Now let's be real here for a second, brethren. All of us are led by something. Let me rephrase that. All of us are led by many things. All of us are led by many things. I mean, I think one of the most important aspects of maturity is just understanding how many different influences there are in your life. It always cracked me up with college students who say that they're independent thinkers, right? Yeah, no, you're not. you think that the clothes that you wear are original. You think that the way that you walk is original. You think that the way that you talk is original. We are all influenced by our culture so much we don't even know it. I once had the chance to sit into a lecture by a Dutch media scholar. It sounds very boring, but I promise it wasn't. I started the lecture by asking, what could someone from the Netherlands teach us about American media? But here was one of the allusions he made. Every semester when he teaches a class on media effects, he asks his European students, to cite the Miranda rights. What are the Miranda rights? You have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say, you can finish it in your hand, right? What he found interesting was every semester that he taught this to his European students, 9 out of 10 of them could cite the Miranda rights verbatim. Now, how could they cite the Miranda rights verbatim? Because, and this is the argument a few of his colleagues gave him, they must have read this in a book about American legal history and it's just stuck with them, right? Yeah, right. What were they consuming? American media. And what is in every crevice of American media? Police dramas and crime television shows and Criminal Minds for you depraved people that watch that show. I mean, it's just horror. I mean, the Miranda rights are everywhere, right? Now, how do you know the Miranda rights? I'm guessing a few people here have probably had them read to them in person, but probably most of us haven't. How do you know the Miranda rights? Well, you've just picked them up, right? Through watching years of all types of crime shows, we all can say you have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say can be held against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney, blah, 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 blah. How do you know the Miranda rights? You just picked them up without even knowing it. Students in the Netherlands can cite the Miranda rights verbatim. Did they need it? Of course not. It's just picked up. Brethren, I use that as an illustration to say we are all influenced by so many different things, especially media. We live in a world where there is a continual flow of information. Whether it be through television or phones or tablets or computers or radio, where there is a continual flow of information. Now, we can quite arrogantly claim, oh, none of that stuff affects me. What I'm going to challenge us to think about throughout this year is what really leads me. What influences me? Much as we can probably all cite the Miranda rights without thinking, The media have influenced us in so many different ways. Our culture, our society, the gods of this age have influenced us. We have to know it. And we have to consider, how have I been led and how am I being led? Because here's the problem, brethren. If it's not God's Spirit, if it's not His Scriptures, if it's not the Word of God, if it's not the Messiah, if it's not Jesus, the Word of God and testimony of Jesus that are guiding us, it's a different spirit that's leading us all together. Notice with me what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You can look at the Titus 3 and 1 Corinthians 12 passages at your own time. But both of them offer this same idea that you can be led astray by weird teachings. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Notice what his command is. You are not to be children, because what are children? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. What blows the waves? I understand there's lunar gravitation and all that stuff. But realistically, isn't a lot of it the wind? Whenever you envision in your mind, of course, waves that are pounding and strong and forceful, what's guiding them? It's the wind. Here's, I think, the question we have to ask. What breath, what wind, what spirit is guiding my life? For those of the world, the winds of this world, the spirits of this world, the breaths of this age, guide them and toss them and throw them about by every wind of doctrine. What's the nature of God's people? We are not those who are blown about by the spirits of this age, but we are those, I'm going to use Daniel's words from Sunday night, we are those with our eyes focused on God, distracted not by the cares of this world, but our eyes focused on God, focused on His Spirit, focused on His Word, focused on who He is, and led by Him, influenced by Him, following Him. Brethren, that is what it means to be led by God. That the waves and winds of this age are not blowing us about, but we are carefully and cautiously led by the Spirit of God, focused on Him. So, brethren, I ask you, be real. In introspection, really trying to figure out what influences me is hard. It's much easier to look at someone else and figure out the influences on their own life than it is my own. But what really influences my life? What winds blow and shape and guide where I go? Is it God and His Spirit? Or is it all of the cares and concerns and thoughts and worlds and intentions of this age? Brethren, what we have to do is we have to stay focused. Not distracted, we have to stay focused. Focused on God and focused on who He is and keeping our eyes intent on His Spirit. And then only then do we have any hope of overcoming the waves of this age. So I'd like to leave you this morning with three questions. Three questions to consider. We'll go in more depth with these throughout this year, but three to begin to consider. Number one, how did God's Spirit lead Israel? How did God's Spirit lead Israel? Part of the tabernacle classes, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be discussing God's leading of Israel, the cloud and things like that. But how did God lead Israel? Number two, how can we be led by God? If we really have our eyes focused on God, what does it mean to be led by God? And the question for you to really consider this morning is, what wind directs my life? What wind directs my life? Much like a ship on the sea has no hope whenever a strong wind blows against it, such is true of the one who is not anchored in Jesus. But whenever we are anchored in Jesus and led by His Spirit, we are not carried away by every wind of doctrine, but we're grounded and we're led. Such is to be the call of God's people today. Are you led by God? You can be getting your songbooks out at this time. So, brethren, as always, I do this at the beginning of most years. I try to offer a sermon just to begin us thinking about these things and for us to consider what does it mean to be led by God. For the invitation this morning, I'd like to remind you, of course, of our special service coming up in 2 weeks. Okay? 2 weeks. I'm going to give you a very quick forecast of this. The sermon that I'm going to preach comes from Luke 18 of the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. This is a text that I have worked us through a couple of times where there's a distinction between how the tax collector and the Pharisee respond to Jesus. That's the lesson I'm going to preach this morning, that on the second. So if that's a text and a lesson and thoughts that you think could be applicable to anyone that you know, brethren, please be working and scattering and planting the seed, because surely they need a Savior, because even good people need a Savior. Bruce asked me yesterday what song to lead this morning, and I asked him to lead "He Leadeth Me." And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory is won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. What I love so much about the last verse of this is it's so fitting to the text. Is this song talks about God's leading us in this life, but ends by discussing God's leading his people through the Jordan. God brought his people out of slavery into freedom in the Exodus, but he delivered them over to the promised land through the Jordan. Such is going to be the nature of our lives. All of us one day will cross Jordan's stormy banks, but some will get caught by the waves and power of the storm. But others who are led by God's own hand will be delivered safely into the promised land. If you want to be led by God in eternity, into a heavenly home with him, it begins by being led by God in this life. That's what God asks of each of us. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, obedient faith this morning, come forward while we stand and sing.